Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Ash Wednesday reminds us of our mortality and our sin. And these are two things we would much rather ignore. No matter the power or wealth we might gain in a lifetime, there will come a day when we go away. And then another day down the road when we are forgotten among men and women on the earth. It's an unpleasant thought. And also an empowering thought, for if our life is so limited by time, then shouldn't we do what is important every day? And some people deny sin. But sin is something real, and every single one of us have in our own minds what is right and what is wrong. And here is the kicker. We do not even live up to our own standards of right and wrong. We know that we fall short of our own standards, not to mention the standards of a holy God. And so, we sin. And of course, we will die. But why dwell on this? Why dwell on these things in church of all places? Because here in church we have the gospel of Jesus Christ, which gives us hope even beyond sin and death. Only the church can make us face our death and our sin and offer hope all at the same time. Here is where we come to know God's forgiveness, God's acceptance, and where we can publicly repent and recognize the guilt we all share in falling so far short of what God intends for our lives. We are called to examine ourselves during Lent. Be careful about examining other people and making excuses for yourselves. One of my favorite historians of American Christianity, Sidney Mead, once said that American Christians never do anything without a pious justification for it. Lent is the time to examine and take apart our pious justifications for lying, for greed, for arrogance, for lust, for manipulations of others, for prejudices, for hate. You fill in your list. We justify it, the same things we condemn in other people. The imposition of ashes in a few moments takes away our pretense and reminds us from ashes we have come and to ashes we shall return. And then it gives hope as we say, repent and believe the gospel. The first mark that we will make upon your forehead is a vertical line. And you could see that as an eye, a singular, self-detached, doing whatever it wants, an eye without regard to God or neighbor. But then we make another mark, a horizontal mark, which crosses out the sinful self and makes a cross, reminding us that there is hope. Repent and believe the gospel. Self-examination and prayer have another symbol here tonight, and it's an unexpected symbol for some of you, a pretzel. There will be pretzels over here and over here. They're not for eating. The pretzel is a traditional symbol for Lenten prayer. In Lent, Christians centuries ago made unleavened bread, and they shaped the dough in the form of two crossed arms. And two crossed arms was traditionally the attitude or the posture of prayer. The bread was called little arms, or bracella, later bretzel, and today we call pretzel. The shape of the pretzel is two little arms crossed in unleavened bread in the attitude or the symbol of prayer. Apparently it was a very ancient practice, for there is a picture of a pretzel and used in this manner in a 5th century document. So it's a very ancient practice, and I do hope that your pretzel lasts the full 40 days. Don't eat it. Display it, and let it remind you to pray more often. I did this in one former church, and a lady said, "We cannot have any religious symbols in our office place," but she smiled, "but I have my pretzel hanging there, and no one suspects." And just briefly, we have a few younger folks here. There's an expression that I did not grow up with, so it's new to me. It's an expression, "my bad." Anybody know that expression? "My bad." You know that? "My bad" is a fairly new expression, but it is exactly what the church has always said we are to say when we are truly entering into a relationship of repentance with God. In Latin, mea culpa. I am guilty. I messed up. That's my fault. I take responsibility for that. I'll try to do better. Forgive me. I know it was wrong. Mea culpa. I think that's what the young kids mean when they say, my bad. Well, maybe they don't mean all of that, but I think it's pretty close. Mea culpa. I am culpable. I ask your forgiveness. Psalm 51, we read responsively just a few moments ago, is one long my bad. And as we approach this time of repentance and a time of self-examination, I want to invite each one of you to take just a moment right now, just a moment to bow your head and begin your own private, silent prayer of repentance. Be specific, be honest. What can you tell God that God doesn't already know? Be specific, be honest. Then seek God's forgiveness and help moving from my bad to my good, to becoming more the person God wants you to be. And God's answer to your mea culpa, your my bad, might be that you and I both need to go to someone else and say it as well. A few moments of silence. Let us begin a time of Lenten self-examination.